Welcome back to Can We Fix It? I'm going to let you guys know off the rip, this episode is going to get dark. Not like we haven't done that before, right, Jen?
I mean, we've dealt with it, yes. We've dipped in there.
We've dipped our toes in the dark, in the pool of darkness, and we're all still alive. So we figured, why not do a real, real honest-to-goodness episode? The artwork on this episode is going to be the setup that I have right now. I'm currently staying with my parents for a couple of weeks while I'm awaiting my new apartment to be ready. And I am recording from the basement, banished to the basement, like the little vulgar goblin that I am. And I just want to put that photo. Greg put that photo as the thumbnail because I want you guys to understand how fucking dedicated we are here at Can We Fix It. Okay, we are so fucking dedicated. You're welcome.
I will confirm. I'm looking at photos of the studio right now, and she is.
Don't call it a studio. It's so sad.
Next to a squeegee and a caulking gun, and I am very impressed.
So, by the time this episode comes out, it will be apparent that a dear friend of ours, Senator Jeanine Calkin, has been hit with some medical crises. Jen and I are very, very close with Jeanine, and managed to record an episode for you all last week without bursting into tears, knowing what we knew. But it does give us a really good reminder that our politicians are people. So for those of you who do not know, Senator Jeanine Calkin fell ill last Sunday. She passed out. She was rushed to the hospital. She had some sort of infection that was really messing with her body that started throwing blood clots. And one of the clots affected the use of her leg to the point where they had to amputate her leg. So, I mean, Jen and I, queens of dark humor, you know, have been dealing with this in a myriad of ways. The senator is obviously not available to take questions or comments or anything, but I suggested that we do a like Weekend at Bernie style with Senator Calkin, where we just throw some sunglasses on her, put a green screen up in the background, and like somebody can do a Jeanine Calkin impression, I'm sure. Unfortunately, I was vetoed because it's quote unprofessional and quote rude, fucking whatever. I also mentioned that because we know and love
Jeanine,
I tried so hard. I honestly feel like she's going to really be bummed out that we missed that opportunity. Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about, but I think I know Jeanine. We've all been dealing with it in our own ways, right? So there have been bouts of crying, there have been bouts of screaming, there have been bouts of, God, I fucking wish it was Matty Yellow instead. And it's been a hard couple weeks. But it does lead us into today's topic, which is treating our politicians like they're people. I know, of all people, should probably not be the ones
to deliver
this particular message of like, come on, guys, can we just be nice? And I get
along.
And I get that hearing it from us may seem confusing, disorienting. I get that. I totally get that. But we also just, you know, witness something really serious with a friend of ours and realize that like, oh, right. While we are all for holding people accountable, we have to remember that that representatives are people. And Jen and I, when we were laying out the course of the episode, were talking about how the Rhode Island State House is kind of fucking cursed. And like, you can't work there without developing like one of the three C's. You either leave with cancer, you leave in a casket, or you leave in handcuffs. And it kind of feels like those are your only options.
Wow.
It's dark, guys. But seriously.
That's dark.
Let's just think about the amount of elected officials that we know of that are battling serious illnesses. I mean, Senator Mary Ellen Goodwin has been living with cancer for the last year and change. Senator Walaska died shortly after he lost his seat. You know, we already have established all the numerous people who have gone out in handcuffs.
Right.
But one of the jokes that we made last week was that Chippendale was being real ballsy using that, you know, 45-year-old photo. That photo is only 10 years old.
I mean, in his defense, I've aged that much in just this one past year, so I get it.
Well, so no, and I'm not trying to say like, wow, look at how terribly, what I'm trying to say is like, that building sucks the life out of you. It will take everything from you if you let it. And it is a very thankless job to be a public servant. But not getting a thank you is something that as a parent, I think I'm particularly accustomed to. It's the way that people feel compelled to talk to and about you that we all, ourselves included, have got to get better at. I know as a woman, I heard a great many wildly inappropriate sexist jokes as to why I couldn't and shouldn't effectively lead. As a single mother, as a woman of low income, you know, all of these things were lobbed at me as, you know, personal and or moral failings. And it's one of those things that as a public servant, you say, yep, I'm a public servant. I don't have a private life. I gotta just, you know, battle through. But I can't help but feeling that our reps and senators wouldn't leave so bitter, cynical, and broken if our constituents talked to them like they were fucking human beings.
That's understandable.
I am all for accountability. Listen, I'm all for pettiness. Let's be real. We cover Twitter beefs on the show all the fucking time. But I think that, you know, one of the many reasons that our government does not work well for us is because we do not work well for our government. Anybody who's worked in the service industry can attest to the fact that when you have somebody who comes in off the rip with a fucking attitude problem, you're not going to go out of your way to like, right. And the amount of people, like, one of the funniest ones for me was we do, like, stupid color coordination shit because we're children up at the State House. So on abortion days or, like, reproductive health days, you wear pink for Planned Parenthood. The one pink dress that I own, because I am a very butch bisexual who dresses primarily in flannel, the one pink dress that I own... Just, I mean, that shit was on camera like thrice a week. Like that bad boy got more use than it has ever gotten in my life. But one of the days I was wearing my pink dress, I'm walking in and I saw our quote unquote boss, Steve Ahlquist, at the State House. And I went over to go say hi and say something to him. And this woman bum rushed me. She runs up, she stands in front of me on the stairs, and she starts screaming at me. Did you know that half of the women who get abortions have, you know, lifelong complications and blah, blah, and
mind
you, this is all because I'm wearing a pink dress, so you can safely assume that I must be. And what if I wasn't a rep? What if I was just some lady who happened to like pink? Like, what? So as she finishes
you
her,
don't know.
Right. As she finishes her rant, I pause, I look at her, I say, hi, how are you? I'm sorry. What is it that we're yelling about? Like, she didn't bother to start with like a, like, hi, are you somebody where this rant would matter? Are you somebody that this would be effective? Right. And honestly, if she came to me on any other issue from that point on, I was always going to have that in the back of my head. Always.
Of course you are.
And then there's the opposite, right? So there's this little anti-vaxxer activist at the State House who is the nicest, sweetest woman who is, I mean, yes, accidentally, actively trying to murder all of our children, but she doesn't know that. You know, she thinks she's saving her kids from autism and secret cancer. And she, and one of the reasons I can talk about her with such kindness and empathy is because that was how she came to me. Hi, listen, I'm sure that you probably have heard this from a number of people, but if I could just pick your ear for a moment, I promise I won't take up too much of your time. Here's the issue that I'm, you know, and at that point on, whether or not I agree with you, I'm going to treat you like a human.
Yeah, we are sorely lacking in that right now. Of just trying to have conversations with people about issues,
right,
instead of immediately lobbing insults at people about issues.
Right. And like, I get it. One of the best benefits of being a waitress before I was a representative is that Rhode Island is fucking small. I worked at a restaurant that was like one of the top 10 breakfast places in Rhode Island. And so I knew a lot of these people up at the State House as their waitress. And
oh, wow.
I never forgot the people who treated me like I was a human being when I was just serving them their pancakes and treated me like I was a human being when I was a representative. There were plenty mm-hmm. of people who introduced themselves to me once I became a representative, and I had to look at them and say, I have served you breakfast every Sunday for the last 10 years.
Wow.
So that was really beneficial for me to just know off the rip who was a decent human and who was a fucking asshole. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes. Yeah, you have that nice inside scoop there.
Right. So one of the reasons that I speak so highly of Ted Nesi and Kim Kalunian is because they were regulars of mine for many, many, many years before I was a representative. I remember when they got engaged. Like, I remember seeing a ring on her finger for the first time and being all excited. They were absolutely always nothing but nice to me. And oh, lo and behold, when I became a representative, they were still nothing but nice to me.
I have to say, I'm completely not surprised by this information. They strike me as just the most adorable, lovely people.
Oh, they're fucking precious. And they're not same-siders, because I would totally take points off for that. Same-siders, for totally. Those of you not in the know, are those creepy-ass couples who, when they go out to eat, have to sit next to each other like a bunch of fucking weirdos, bumping elbows while they're trying to eat their pancakes and shit. No, I can stand to be 4 feet away from you while I'm shoveling food into my face. You're slowing me down. I want to make sure that we cover that the State House is cursed, and the people who work up there, some of them may have actually started out as human beings and were just whittled away.
Right, they had good intentions and the State House just ate away at them.
And I totally get that. I remember when I was first running for office, Aaron Regenberg came over to my apartment after a session one day, and he was helping me work on, my messaging and my mother tea letter and all that. And he was opening a beer, and he was just sitting, and he looked so fucking dejected. And he was like, are you sure you want to do this? Because it's like the worst. It's the worst job. And I was like, I know, buddy, but if there's a bunch of us up there, then maybe it won't be the worst. But like, this was a man who was actively trying to convince me to run for office, who was like, no, don't, I changed my mind, run away. It's so hard.
It's really bad. Don't do it.
Right. So, and I'm sure that a lot of what happened with Janine, I mean, She was exhausted. And she just assumed it was from all the work that she was putting in up at the State House.
Right. Because you would imagine that would suck the life out of you.
Right. Right. One of Sam Howard, who I know from my days at Classical High School, go Purple, is a really good person to follow on Twitter for some really astute political observations. And he put a few articles up this week about what it would mean for our system of government if we were to have a full-time legislature.
Oh, I loved that thread. I read a whole bunch of the tweets and the threads and the articles.
Right. So for those of you who don't know, there are some states that have full-time legislatures, which is your, you know, regular year-round 9-to-5 job, you know, every 2 or 4 years, depending on, you know, what your term limit is, you run for office again, but you work, you know, January to December, because it's expected that your legislator job is your primary and only job. Rhode Island has a part-time legislature, which means that there are 75 people up there who work January to June. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is when technical session is, but that doesn't include committee hearings, constituent meetings, town halls, et cetera, et cetera. And rather than make an actual living wage, you make $15,000 a year to be a Rhode Island legislator, which means that you have to have a job outside of session. For those representatives and senators who are lawyers with their own law firms or accountants with their own, you know, scheduling possibilities, or people who don't work retail minimum wage scheduled jobs, that's a little bit more feasible. You look at your boss and say, hey, every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from January to June, I have to leave by 3 to get to the state house. And when you work a big kid job, they will usually let you say that. Now, if you work at, say, I don't know, fucking Stop and Shop, no, that's not fair. Stop and Shop is union, and they're actually pretty decent. McDonald's, how about that? Are. Okay. If you work at McDonald's, they will laugh in your face and find somebody who can work all of the hours that they want you to work.
Right. And you're gone.
Right. So when I first got elected, I was a waitress, which was perfect. I was a breakfast waitress. Our restaurant closed at 3 o'clock every single day. There was no world in which I was ever going to miss session. The only problem that I did forget to factor in, and this was just a small oversight, was that my boss was a racist Republican asshole. And it never mattered when I was just a waitress, right? But then when I started being a rep and having very progressive ideas that he did not super endorse or agree with, and every single article that was coming out was like, Maura Walsh, waitress at Classic Cafe, followed by like, eat the rich, burn the prison systems to the ground. I lost my waitressing job. What actually technically happened was an asshole named Serge, who had never, ever, ever been in our restaurant before in his life, went onto Yelp and wrote a 1-star Yelp review that said, you know, this piece of shit, progressive communist nightmare hates men and will probably spit in your food if you go to this restaurant. And I was fired off of a 1-star Yelp review, the first 1-star Yelp review in 10 years, from a man who had never set foot inside of our restaurant.
That's appalling.
Right. But there are plenty of jobs where that will happen to you for being a representative. Not those fancy lawyer jobs or accountant jobs, but plenty of jobs will cut you loose the minute your political aspirations reflect in a different way than they would rather have, which makes keeping a full-time job and being a representative a very precarious balance, and which means that the likelihood of you having ballsy ass burn it to the ground women like myself are slim to none, unless, like me, you're fine with living at, you know, 10 grand below the poverty level for 4 years. And as I said to the Twitter thread, like, I loved being a rep. It was the most meaningful job I ever had. My life is vastly improved after having left. I work just as many hours a week, if not less. Except now I can pay my bills and feed my son and myself.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Nice job.
It's crazy. And so I think that, you know, when people hear, oh, look, the legislature wants to give itself a raise. Yeah, I get that. That sounds shitty. I understand why the immediate answer would be go fuck yourself. However, wouldn't you rather have more regular normal people who know how much a gallon of milk cost than, you know, nothing but independently wealthy eviction lawyers who make their money off of kicking people out of their houses? You know, like, this part of the reason that we have a legislature that doesn't work for the people. It's not run by the people. It's run by the lawyers.
Exactly. You need a legislature that's run by the people and not people who use the money they get being a legislator for vacation funds. You know,
right.
You need
Right. And I also think that all the people who are in it for the clout, the special treatment, the whatever, don't care enough about those things
right.
to give up $100,000 a year job. Because it's not like we would change the legislature from 15 grand to 100. You know, it would be like 15 grand to 30, like a nice normal amount of money for a person to make it a job. And I'm pretty sure that these lawyers that are regularly pulling in six figures a year are going to, what, give up their jobs to go be a full-time right. rep? No, you weed out a lot of scumbags that way. Now, this section of the show is going to be a little bit harder for me to maintain my newly found be empathetic to politicians point of view. I'm reading this really, really great book called Revolutionary Love, where it says that the best way to stop, hate and indifference is to genuinely wonder about people, right? So like, it's hard to be angry at somebody when you're like, I wonder what made them that way, you know? And honestly, I'm still angry, but this is as close as I can get to wondering about somebody. I have gotten confirmation from multiple sources that the Republicans have fucking begged Justin Price to wear his mask. They have tried everything. They have said, we look like fucking assholes. We look like fucking idiots. You're making the rest of us look like assholes. You're making the rest of us look like idiots. It makes people feel better. Could you just make people feel better? Any number of things. And he actively refuses to wear his mask. So I, as the little sister, would like to just say, fucking told you so. I told you so.
You know, I was going to take this moment to say, yes, Laura, you were right. I was wrong. But you jumped in with the I told you so.
I can't help myself. I'm a child.
You just have to do it first.
Well, so here's my thing. Yeah. Is that honestly, like, oh, go ahead.
I know I'm incorrect. I know I was incorrect, and I stand, you know, fully chagrined that apparently they have reached out to Justin. But I would like to say that that proves even more of my point that he is just a disrespectful garbage person when everyone is asking him to do this, and he will not.
I know, and I'm sitting here, and I'm trying to have a sense of wonder about him, right? Like, we covered early on during the vaccine rollout that the asterisk on fuck you, get your vaccine was people of color, right? Like, no, I get it. I get why you don't trust it. I get why you want to have all the white people get the vaccine first, because the last time we told you we were giving you a vaccine, we gave you syphilis instead. And I can see how you're like, fool me once, shame on you, right? So I'm trying to sit here and wonder what in Justin's life leads him to believe that the government that he works for is capable of a conspiracy that vast, right?
You can't think of anything now, can you?
Right?
I know. Of a reason why.
I can't imagine. Because literally, like, my kid's dad is a hardcore Republican. And I am obviously a filthy, dirty liberal. And one of the things that he says all the time is, I don't trust my government. I work for my government. And one of the things that I say all the time is, I know that our government is not capable of a conspiracy that vast because I work for the government. We're not, you know what I mean? So like the fact that we both work for the state is the reason why we're like, no, they're dumb. No, I work up there. They're dumb. Right.
Right.
But I don't understand how, after having been a rep and seeing what a shit show it is, did I ever tell you that when we took our class photo, it took 3 hours.
Wait, no.
Yes. It took 3 hours to get 75 representatives to stand in the same place at the same time without one having to go and take a phone call, another one having to go pee, another one going outside for a cigarette and coming back way late, another one who said that he was there but actually wasn't there. He texted and he thought he was going to arrive by the time that we found the text, and then he wasn't, and then we had to wait. Like, literally, I shit you not, 3 fucking hours to take a class photo. There is no world in which the government that you work for, Justin, would be capable of a global coronavirus conspiracy. It's not, we don't have it in us. Justin, you work up there. Do you think you would be capable of a conspiracy? You're barely capable of voting.
I mean, he could barely make that tinfoil hat. Come on.
I know. He had to look up the instructions thrice.
So how long did our self-reflection last?
Listen.
Respecting people.
I'm trying to get to the bottom of this. It's still a sense of wonder, Jen. There's just wonder with a bit of fucking impatience and attitude, Justin. Since when has the U.S. government ever tried to mass murder white men? I'll wait.
Never.
All right, it never happened. Never, not one time. So why the fuck are you suspicious, Justin? This is the same dude who believes that chemtrails are raining down chemicals on us. Like the jet streams after an airplane are raining down chemicals on us. Like, no, Justin. No, buddy. I get why you think that, because your brain is so just marinating in these conspiracy theories. But, like, it's not a real thing. That is as close as I can get to being empathetic towards Justin Price. I am very...
And that's okay.
I know. I'm very sympathetic and empathetic towards the rest of the poor fucking Republicans. Because this is a lose-lose for them, right? Because
that is where my empathy lies also. Right. Anyone that has to work with him and has him in their caucus.
Right, because you're begging him to put his mask on, and he won't. And what are you going to do? Are you going to go out and look like the asshole who's like, I asked him and he refuses? Because then you don't look like a particularly good leader.
Right.
So, like, they're kind of up Schitt's Creek without a paddle right now. Because, like, yeah, they could come out and throw him under the bus and be like, well, he's a dumbass and we've tried, but there's only so much that we can do. I mean, we don't like it when our team does that to Democrats. You know what I mean? When they be, oh, they come in here with such spunk, that'll be metered out. You know, like that kind of shit. Like, we don't want it when our team does it. So I don't expect the other team to call a press release to be like... Same. Dear Rhode Island, we apologize that one of our members is a fucking moron. We're very sorry. Please do not hold it against the rest of us.
It's not going to happen. Although I will say it would point more to the fact that Justin just doesn't care, which means he should not be legislating at all. But, you know.
I'm still really confused as to how he keeps winning. Because he had a contested race last time. And I just don't see how you could look at Justin versus any opponent, a toupee that's been dredged out of a sewer, a bloating corpse, three owls in a trench coat. Like, I don't see how any other option wouldn't have been better than that. And, like, I told you so, but the only reason I had this insight is because I have fucking talked to this man. I worked with this dude for 4 straight years. And he is barely coherent 90% of the time. It is very hard to understand what he's talking about, why he thinks it's relevant to whatever conversation that we're having. My favorite one was we put in a bill for, I think it was specifically for Providence school teachers. It might have been for all of Rhode Island. We discovered that despite the fact that 80-something percent of Providence students were children of color, only 20% of teachers were teachers of color. We were trying to put in a bill to, you know, create some kind of study commission to A, find out why, and B, to find out how we could even out those numbers and get more teachers of color. And Justin Price stood up and said that he would support the bill if only we had included white people.
But
right. It was explained to them. It was explained to him 150 times by 74 different fucking representatives that the reason that we're not asking why there aren't enough white teachers in a study commission is because there are enough white teachers. See, do you see how that would be confusing for us to do a study commission on the lack of white teachers when all the fucking teachers are white, Justin? Do you see how that would be?
Yeah.
And he just kept saying, I understand and I agree and I will happily vote for the bill if you just add white people. Justin, that's not... No, but you clearly don't understand then, friend. You know what I mean?
Right.
So the only reason that I was so confident that he has been asked, begged, pleaded with is because I was like, you know what? Asking Justin Price to do or understand anything is very, very much like trying to give commands to a brick wall.
Yeah, I get that. Not, we'll exempt him from this whole conversation.
Right. Well, we're gonna prove what human beings we are right now by being human beings about another person that we have repeatedly been a dick to.
We have, yeah.
Yes. Senator Elaine Morgan lost her husband this past week. And there is no world in which a spouse is prepared for that, particularly at the age they are. They're young. They're in their 40s, aren't they?
Yeah, they're young. They're 40s or early 50s. I have no idea. Right. But I mean, way too young.
Way too like young. This. And like, not that it's ever something that you're looking forward to seeing your spouse die, but just, you know, when they're older, at least you're prepared. You know, like my grandmother was, you know, 89 when she died. We were sad, but we weren't fucking shocked. Like, how much longer do we expect her to carry this shit down?
Right. I mean, she lived a good life and that was enough.
Right.
But this is just very sad, you know, and I know, obviously, she is my political opponent and we've said horrible things about each other politically. But I can honestly say I feel terrible for her and her family.
Yeah, she's
and,
having a shit.
My heart goes out to them.
She's having a shit time. See, guys, we can be nice.
Really?
Did you see that? Look at how good we are. I mean, that one was easy. I always feel bad when somebody dies. Maybe I should try. Maybe we should try a harder one, like when she's arguing that LGBTQ people aren't people. No, we're not doing that now, Morris. See, I can't. Guys, it's hard. Okay.
See, you can. But that's the thing we all have to remember in this conversation is. Yes, she's a human being who just suffered a terrible loss. But, you know, when she comes out with an anti-trans bill or something terrible like that, you can call her out on terrible legislation and say, you're not a very nice person for doing this. In fact, you're horrible. But, you know, generally, we won't make personal attacks.
Generally. I like that we always leave ourselves a little wiggle room. Guys,
it's the Justin Price code.
Right. We're not saying it's going to be easy. We're not saying it's going to be easy. It's clearly not easy for us, right? Like, I mean, when the whole Senator Jeanine Cawkin thing happened, all I kept thinking to myself was Nicholas Mattiello is on a golf course somewhere with two fucking legs right now. And it doesn't seem fair. But everybody is, everybody has their own Jeanine, right? So, you know, Elaine Morgan is somebody's Jeanine Cawkin. She's somebody's daughter. She's somebody's best friend. She's somebody's person.
True.
And, you know, we're not making any promises here, but we'll try to do better. I know we said that with the swearing too, but we mean it this time, you guys.
I don't think I swore all that much this time.
Well, I just, do you remember like a month or two ago when we were like, all right, we have to chill it with the swearing. And then the next week was the LG episode. And we're like, motherfucking dumbasses.
Like everything. There were so many. There were too many to count.
We're trying, you guys. Okay. We're trying to be better people. So, you know, one of the many reasons that, go ahead.
I'm sorry. We mentioned last week that change happens incrementally and just allow us to change incrementally too.
Right. Exactly. We're working on it. Okay. It's just being a human is hard and it's so much easier to be a petty goblin. I'm so good at that. It's like I've been training my whole life.
Right. Second nature.
Oh my God. When I first started this show and was coming up with the send off, the reason we always ended it with be a good neighbor, was because that was my very first campaign slogan. When I was running for office was, you know, go out there and be a good neighbor. And over the last several months, I have been, my apartment has been like unbearably hot whenever my roommate is home because the portal to hell is underneath her feet because she's Satan. No, Maura, see?
Rain it in.
But so for the last several weeks and months, I have said, fuck being a good neighbor. Be whatever kind of neighbor your neighbor is being to you. So I think that one little baby step that we can all take care of is going back to at least trying to be good neighbors. So, we're still looking for a kidney. What's the blood type on your friend's kidney? I ask this
A
every
positive.
A positive.
A positive. And I have to actually get more details as to where we are in the kidney search. I'm curious.
We are still encouraging you to check in on Rye Rank, which is going to have new updated ratings for this year. Spoiler alert, your favorite reps and senators are still your favorites. They didn't magically become assholes overnight. Make sure that you're checking in on the bill tracker website to make sure that if there are bills that you care about that are coming up, that you are keeping tabs on those. We will have a more, you know, legislation, policy, and content heavy episode for you next week, but we felt like with the way things went down for our co-op family this week that it was probably a good idea for us, the pettiest of the petty, to say even we recognize that we could stand to be a little bit nicer. So
exactly.
Go out there, wash your hands, stay safe, get vaccinated, and if for no reason other than to make Janine smile, go be a good neighbor.